Hello and welcome to Time with Pastor Otable, our interactive discussion program that throws the light of scripture on the biggest issues of our lives. My name is Albert Okran, welcoming you on behalf of Dr. and Mrs. Otable. It's the Christmas season, and last week we spent time looking at the meaning and significance of Christmas. And we'll stay with that same theme and leading the discussion. It's my joy to welcome Pastor Mensah Otable. Doctor, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
It's a blessed season.
It is. It is indeed.
What should we expect in this season?
Joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord. That's our strength. We'll come back to that, Doc. Let me welcome our colleagues first, Pastor Kuju Amwasari. Pastor Kuju, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
And Pastor Priscilla Nanankis. Pastor Priscilla, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Pastor Alvin.
Doc, thanks for the insights last week into the foundations and the origin and the scriptural significance of Christmas. We want to push on to the contemporary celebration of Christmas. And there's been some concern about secularization, that Christ is being gradually pushed out of Christmas. In fact, in some jurisdictions, it's frowned upon to say Merry Christmas or Christmas, preferring instead season's greetings or Xmas. What should be the Christian's response to this development?
The world is becoming more and more anti-God and anti-Christ, particularly. But the Christians have to be more pro-God and pro-Christ. So if the rest of the world is not saying Christmas, we shouldn't follow them. And we should mention his name in the celebration. I make it a point to say Merry Christmas and not season's greetings. After Christmas, getting to the new year, I can say season's greetings because that's for the new year. But for this celebration, up onto the 25th of December, that is Merry Christmas. And we have to keep Christ in Christmas. But, I mean, the world is free to do what they want to do regarding how they want to celebrate this process, because some think that it's not only about the 25th, but it's about the whole season leading to the new year. And so they put it all together and call it season's greeting. But for Christians, it has to be Merry Christmas.
Doc, in our previous discussions about the African church, you mentioned that sometimes when foundational traditions are eroded gradually, it may sound like it doesn't really matter, but with time, the real essence gets shifted away completely. Will this be one of such instances?
Yes, it's important. I mean, when I was a younger Christian, these things didn't bother me much because I thought they weren't that important. But with maturity and a deeper understanding of our Christian faith, I believe that Christian symbolism is very, very important and Christian traditions are very important. Every society, every culture upholds itself on its symbolisms and traditions. And if we just make Christianity a personal experience that is only contemporary and has no reference to what has happened for 2,000 years, for 1,000 years, then we are minimizing the impact of our Christianity, because this moment will pass away. Everything we are experiencing now that seems so profound to us, we just pass away. 50 years from now, people will not remember most of the things that have happened at this time. But what people will remember is the foundations that have been left behind and the traditions and the continuous practices that are still in existence. So we have to keep Christian traditions and the Christian symbolisms.
So, Doc, what is the significance of the Christmas lights, the Christmas tree, the exchange of gifts, Christmas decorations? Does it have any significance? And all the glamour you see during the Christmas time.
Yes, they do. As I said last week, the early Christians had to make a choice whether to try and eliminate the cultures they had come into contact with or assimilate it into Christianity. So there is a point of assimilation and reinterpretation. And so the Christmas lights are important because Christ is the light of the world. The exchange of gifts is because God gave his greatest gift to us at Christmas. And and all the other symbolisms. We have to also note that some of these practices were in some of the cultures of Europe, in the pre-Christian cultures of Europe. But when Christianity came there, they took these symbols and gave them a new meaning, the meaning of Christ. So now when we celebrate them, we are not remembering the old pre-Christian traditions. We are remembering the new Christian interpretation of these symbolisms. And largely for the last 2,000 years, or let's say about last 1,500 years, most of these traditions have become essentially Christian traditions.
The Christmas season is a global bonanza, which has a lot of discount sales and promos and events. And all these events are highly patronized. I'm wondering, how do we manage extravagance so that we don't spend beyond our means, since we're going to pay school fees in January?
I mean, these are commonsensical things that we have to do. The commercialization has its role because it just feeds into the atmosphere of joy and happiness and gladness, and people are able to buy things that they haven't been able to buy throughout the year. We give presents to people that we love but haven't really been able to give anything to and show our love throughout the year. So Christmas gives us the opportunity to do that. And then the businesses cash in on that, knowing that people would want to buy presents, encourage us to buy more. But all too soon, January comes, and the 1st of January, and January has 31 days.
Yeah.
So if you don't manage your expenditure well during the Christmas time, you have 31 days of January staring you in the face, and you have to survive those months. So ideally, it's important for people to save up towards Christmas. So it's going to come anyway. We know it comes every time. So if you're going to put, let's say, 1% of your salary aside, every month you put 1% aside, then, you know, by December, you would have had 10% of your income saved towards Christmas. Then you can decide to spend the 10% that you have saved in anticipation of the expenditure that we all make during Christmas. I mean, you can't avoid it. You're going to buy something new. The house will be refreshed, as some food will be at home. And for us in Ghana, because people visit home, there has to be something when your nephews and nieces or other relations come. You can't say that there is nothing for them to eat because life is hard. You know, you'll be a mean uncle or a mean auntie if you don't do that. So, but we have to save towards it so that the expenditure is not from our monthly income that comes to us in the month of December or November.
I think the saving is key.
It is. It's important. Yeah. It comes every year. So we should just get used to it and plan towards it.
Doc, for somebody who is very particular about maintaining and upholding our traditions, I'm sure you must feel very good when, at least on Christmas Day, all the news channels, the whole world literally comes to a standstill because of Christ.
It is heartwarming that the news, especially the Western news media, which avoids Christianity like a plague these days, are forced to say something about Christmas, sometimes very cynically, put out all kinds of dubious information to discredit something about Christ or Christianity. But at least Christ is mentioned, you know, and then a church service will be broadcast. Maybe the Pope's service would be broadcast. And yes, although we are not all Catholics, it's good that a Christian service is broadcast, and we should encourage that a Christian service is broadcast.
Doc, let's shift our attention to another phenomenon that's quite dominant, and that is the personality that we call Santa Claus or Father Christmas. Very interesting concept, but some are a bit worried that it's a subtle attempt to compete with or replace Christ. Would that be a fair interpretation of the principle of Santa Claus?
I think there is a certain effort in our world to push Christ out of the thought of the world. So even innocent traditions like Santa Claus or Father Christmas are being manipulated to take the place of Christ in Christmas. But Santa Claus has been part of Christmas for a long while because it emerged from the church, from St. Nicholas. So the idea that something that came from the church is now being manipulated to take the church out is something to consider. I don't particularly have any problem with Santa Claus and his dressing, the jolly old man, white beard. It's a very comforting image to celebrate.
Another key feature of Christmas is the singing of Christmas carols. Is there a historical or theological significance of this practice?
Christmas carols are hymns that have developed over the years for Christmas. I am not too sure of the particular beginning of that practice, but I'm aware that it just became part of the celebration of Christ. We have to understand that Christmas didn't used to have the image it has now. It was just a Christian celebration. It was a church celebration. So it is a mass in the church where people would go to church within that period and sing hymns and pray in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't have all the other drama that we have now associated to it. So it was practically a church service. And so it required a lot of hymns. So most of the carols were just hymns. But then, especially in the last century, we started having non-hymn carols, which would be just people singing about chestnuts roasting in a fireplace and all those activities in the Western world that involve snow and winter and Santa Claus and sleigh bells and all of that. Those are not hymns. These are just a celebration of the tradition as it occurs in the Western world. Most of them do not fit us in our part of the world. Of course, we don't have snow in Ghana, and much of Africa doesn't have snow. So anything that says in the mid...
Mid-winter. Mid-winter, yes.
Doesn't fit us. We have Harmattan at this time. And so maybe we should start composing our own Christmas carols that is centered around Harmattan. And we don't roast chestnuts in a fireplace. These are all purely Western practices that have no relevance to. I mean, the sound, the music may sound good to us, but the words have no relevance to us.
I think that some of the contemporary musicians are composing carols with reggae beats, rap, you know, and all that. But I haven't really paid attention to the lyrics, whether we are still talking about snow.
I think most of the contemporary Christmas songs that come from Africa tend to be Christ-centered because they follow the old hymn structure. They are not very secular because really Christmas hasn't become a very deep traditional practice among Ghanaians. Most times we forget it till it's almost very close to it, to the time.
Doc, this is something we'd like to explore a bit more when we come back from this break. So this is Time with Pastor Tabo. If you just joined us, this is a discussion about Christmas. Last week we began talking about the scriptural foundations. We are continuing today about the contemporary celebration. Invite a friend to tune in and please don't go away. Welcome back to Time with Pastor Otabel, discussing the contemporary celebration of Christmas. Pastor Koyo.
Yeah. Dog, should the African Christian make deliberate efforts by redefining the concept of Christmas by the composition of more African-based carols?
I think so. I mean, we can't dream of a white Christmas. There's no snow here. So we have to appropriate the experience for ourselves, for our culture. As a church at Christ Temple, we start Christmas very early, and we start singing the Christmas hymns in November. So we have quite a long time. We put up our lights and decorations very early. Because what I've noticed is most people in our part of the world, because Christmas is not really deeply in our practice, we wait till probably 2 days to Christmas, then hang up our lights and decorations, mm-hmm. and that's about it. But if you go to other cultures, you find that Christmas celebration starts from November till the end of the year. So I think a long period for us to reflect on Christ and his birth is very important. And as a pastor, I try to preach at least four messages around Christmas before Christ is born.
Doc, in other jurisdictions, there is the national or the town celebration of Christmas, where a town actually decorates the whole town and has a carnival around Christmas. This is something you'd like to see in our part of the world.
I wish the churches would do that more frequently. I wish churches would consciously promote Christmas at least throughout the month of December. That messages preached will be around Christ, will remind our members of the incarnation, the coming of Christ. And yes, we'll put up decorations in our churches to remind people of this very important moment in our Christian faith when the Son of God was born. And we should do that. Whether the government and city councils should do that, people would say that in the midst of all the hardship in our country, you want city councils to go and buy lights and so on. I think it can be a very dicey political decision. I don't want to venture into that because people would think that it's not the most appropriate way to use public funds.
But it was nice last year to drive through town and see companies doing it and the whole streets lit up very beautifully.
Yeah, I think if the corporate organizations own it instead of city councils and even government, I would want to see corporate organizations taking up the streets in front of their company and lighting them up, and shops lighting up their shops, and everybody just doing something and making it celebratory.
Doc, let's talk about people of other ideologies, other faiths, other persuasions or beliefs. How do we relate to them with the message of Christmas?
I think the good thing about Ghana is the respect we have for religions. And although we have two major religions which are very different from each other, Islam and Christianity, you don't see an entrenched position when it comes to participating in each other's festivals. So when it is Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr, you see the Christians warm up to it and send greetings to their Muslim friends and vice versa, and even participate in the communal meals that are cooked at that time. And you see it in Christmas, the Muslims also participating and attending Christmas events, singing through carols and festivals of nine lessons and carols, and also going to their Christian friends' homes and enjoying the meal. I mean, that from at a human level, it's a very decent, reasonable way to share with other human beings. It doesn't mean we have embraced faith and we believe necessarily in the faith, but it just shows that we respect human beings for who they are. And I think Ghana does very well with that.
You will encourage it?
I think so. I think it should be. It's a far better than entrenched positions where Christians are in their silo when it's time for Muslim festivals, and Muslims are in their silo, and there's no joining of lives together. I think this is a far better celebration of our humanity.
Very powerful point, Doug.
So Christmas, it's all about demonstrating love, peace, joy, goodwill, sharing, you know, and all that. Could you share with us practical ways you could demonstrate these virtues during Christmas as believers?
I think one of the things that is very prominent at Christmas is the giving of gifts. So without complicating the issue, I think everybody should attempt to give something to somebody. Yes, give to people in your household. So households, give to people in your family. If you can give one gift to everybody, a little reception at home that brings people home, it's good. It's a kind of love, sharing of the joy. And there are children in most neighborhoods just doing something, putting something together to share with the kids in the neighborhood. It's worth it. Going to people who have no homes, homeless people, and also sharing something with them. These are all commendable. As a church, our big gesture at Christmas is to give to the Children's Cancer Unit of the Kolebu Teachings Hospital. And every year we do it. We've been doing it for a while now. We raise money and we give it to them because life must be shared. And I think Christians must find practical ways of just demonstrating a little of the love of God with other people.
The point you made is so important. Sometimes people give outside the home, but they don't give gifts to people in their household.
Yes, it starts from within. They said, as it is said, charity begins at home. So if you are living with somebody and you're quarreling with a person, you can't be going wishing everybody outside Merry Christmas. I mean, you have to show it at home and then show it to the people in the neighborhood, and then you can go a little further than that.
Okay, the gift of forgiveness.
I mean, forgiveness is far more difficult than sharing biscuit. You know, so it's very easy to share a gift than to forgive. So that's why I didn't go there, because I would say at least share a gift. Yeah. But yes, we can go beyond sharing a gift to making peace, and reconciling with people. That is, if you are quarreling with people, try and make peace. Not make peace at Christmas and go and start a new year, but just try to settle issues at the end of the year so you can start the new year on a good ground.
Doc, can't an act of sharing a gift be an expression of an act of forgiveness?
It can be. And it's a practical way. I mean, somebody that you are in the office with, that you know that the two of you don't like each other. I mean, if you buy something small and say Merry Christmas, or even a Christmas card and say Merry Christmas and give the person a card, I think it's an act of reconciliation. It may not be a very big gesture, but it tells something that I want us to move on. I want us to forgive and to move on. So I think it's important that people do that. Yeah. And we don't need to buy expensive gifts. Mm. I mean, it's just your heart reaching out to somebody to give a gift to the person. You're not solving all their financial problems, yeah, or nutritional problems, but you're trying to just show that you care and you are thoughtful of them.
Doc, how do we maintain a healthy balance between the outward celebration of Christmas and the inward reflective moment of the significance of what Christ did for us?
I think as a Christian, the Christian festivals are important for us to reflect on Christ. And that is why I think churches should preach on that.
Okay.
And much as we like to preach on the triumphalism of our Christian faith, breakthroughs and miracles, we should also realize our Christian life is not just about breakthroughs and miracles and things happening. It's about deepening our awareness of what has happened to us inside us. And so there should be preaching that reminds us internally of what we have become because of Christ. And in that teaching, we can then find that people reflecting more and more on the message of Christ. But that shouldn't stop us from externally showing our love.
So we can use the pulpits to influence that.
I think the pulpit is very important, and I think that during the Christmas season, not just Christmas Day, but Christmas season, we should focus on preaching up Jesus Christ and his significance to us.
Doc, what's from the pastor's heart, what is the single most important thing that should engage the mind of the individual believer at Christmas?
The coming of Christ and salvation that came through him. I mean, everything ends up there, really. I mean, our salvation through him. And I think just for people to understand the reality that Jesus came, it's not just something we've heard, but it actually happened. He was born. He was born of a virgin, and he was born to fulfill prophecy. And he came because of us. He's God in the flesh, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. And this whole idea of God becoming a man, it's a huge mystery that we need to explore and understand deeper and deeper and its meaning to us. So if there is one thing prominent on our minds, it's just the reality that God became flesh, dwelt amongst us, and that in him we have salvation.
In Acts 16, when Paul finished explaining, the jailer asked, "So what shall we do?" And the same question was asked when Peter and Co. preached after the coming of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? So what should the person do hearing this?
When a gift is given to you, you receive it. Jesus is God's gift to us. We receive him. You don't just admire the gift. You don't just look at the gift. You receive the gift. When Jesus was being born, there was no room for him in the inn, but there was room for him in a manger. That means that there will always be a place for Christ to dwell. And for us, the place for him to dwell is not on a Christmas tree, but in our hearts. And the way to do that is to just ask him to come into your heart. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. You just say, "Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my heart. Come into my heart. Be my savior. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person." And that's the greatest Christmas gift. Christ, not just born in a manger, but now born in our hearts and making us new people.
Very, very powerful, Doug. Yeah. I'm sure for the person listening out there, that clarifies the biggest gift of all at Christmas time. This is time with Pastor Tabo discussing the contemporary celebration of Christmas. And now we know the biggest gift of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. When we come back from this break, it's the big one. How does Pastor Tabo celebrate Christmas? And how did he celebrate Christmas when he was younger? Please don't go away. Welcome back to Time with Pastor Otabo, talking today about Christmas, especially the contemporary celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you haven't called a loved one to join us, do so now so they can be part of this all-important celebration. And the number on your screen is the number to send your questions or comments to, so we can know what's on your mind about time with Pastor Potable. Doc, let's come to you personally. Share with us your fondest memories of Christmas in your childhood.
When I was a child, Christmas had, I think, a lot more expression than now. I think everybody thinks their childhood Christmas was the best, but I think so because there were a lot of activities in the community. I mean, one of the prominent ones was we would go and cut our palm branches from the beach, and because we lived close to the beach, come and build our Christmas house. And every community or every neighborhood will have the kids come to build something. And it was a very important development in team playing, team building, working together, learning to do a project together, because we did a project together and we built our Christmas house.
Was it competitive?
And everybody would bring food from their home, which also teaches about sharing and companionship to the Christmas hut. And we would sit and eat. It wasn't much, really, but just the fact that, you know, our parents were not there and we were just managing our own life in our Christmas hut was very cheerful. And then we'll go around singing and dancing and asking for biscuits and cakes and so on. And so we go around the neighborhood dancing with and all of that. Those were very cheerful moments that are still meaningful to me. I remember all our antics and the songs we used to sing and the teasing we gave to those who didn't give us any gifts and the blessing we issued on those who gave us gifts. And I just remember my childhood friends, and what everybody was doing at that time. Really precious, moments. Of course, we'll go to church on Christmas Day, on a Sunday, depending on how the days fall and what the church is doing. And everybody would have lights in their home. It wouldn't be a lot, but we just use light bulbs and fix them in our homes, colored light bulbs. And then we had Christmas decorations, which would be cut out of paper and colored and all of that. So every family tried to do something. And then we hung our Christmas cards that have come to the family will be hung in the home. And these will be kept for the next Christmas. And hung again the next Christmas. So I suppose if you don't have much, reusing what you have becomes a very important part of your life. And for me, all of that symbolized a very precious life shared with so many other people in the neighborhood.
Looking back, did those moments influence your personal philosophy about Christ and Christianity and Christmas for that matter?
I remember when we were kids, one of the Christmases, we saw a star in the sky, and one of our friends just said, you know, this is the star that led the wise men to Jesus. So we started running after the star. Now, at that time, I didn't understand the laws of physics, that the stars were fixed, and that when you were running, you would think that they were also moving.
Yeah.
And so we ran after the star and tried to, and we went run to a very long distance at a point where we're just getting very worried that we're going too far away from home. And we got home. So Jesus was present in our thinking that it's not just about the Christmas heart and lights, but that Jesus is being born, so much so that we thought he was being born at that time. And that's how present Christ was in the thinking of the, at least my colleagues at that time. So it wasn't just about festivities around Christmas, but also the person of Christ and the reality of his birth dawned on us very much.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that the star led you to a particular house. Let's start to you, Pastor Priscilla. Just find out your fondest memory of your Christmas in childhood.
Well, my mother would take her shopping. It was something I looked forward to. And it's something I continue to do. And then we'd go to Kingsway. To go and meet Father Christmas.
Mm.
And we used to bake at home the cakes, you know, where we looked forward to that. And in our neighborhood, all the families would gather for fireworks. Sunday school, we would have the play. I had a problem with that because the teachers would always make me one of the animals in the stable. And my siblings would be either Mary or an angel. I became very resentful of that. It's something I haven't forgotten.
Wow.
You know. But growing up, Christmas is quieter, more of reflection, having family worship, spending more time with them. I spent time with my grandson for us to watch movies together. The last time we watched a documentary, which I brought for on elephants. But I got dizzy with his, because it's these energetic cartoons that will suddenly jump over rivers and break through walls, and I fell asleep. But, you know, it's coming together, you know, and a valuable time. So those are some of my memories. And that's how we spend Christmas.
So can you share your memories of Christmas with us?
All right. Growing up as a child, there were three things that were reoccurring for every Christmas season. One, we get new clothing. Two, we visit a lot of aunties and uncles and they give us a lot of gifts. And three, we go to church. I really loved Christmas experience growing up because it was for me the moment of celebration, meeting our cousins, enjoying having fun, and also doing a lot of church. But as an adult, I think that I lean towards more of the significance of Christmas, and sometimes it probably shadowed down my celebratory mood. So I think that I might have to work out a balance.
Look, I grew up in Takoradi where the masquerader party is such a huge phenomenon. I mean, it was tens of thousands of people. I think it's even bigger now than before. They rekindled it in a very big way. So literally the whole town gets costumes and you have all these masqueraders in kilometers of them. And then the thing that used to really, really intimidate me was this person walking on stilts, very high stilts, and sitting on one story, the first floor of story buildings. And all those were enduring memories. And I had a bit of all that we've discussed here. But Doc, moving on, all these celebrations, as we look back at them, how do they help to entrench our faith and establish us in Christ?
It's important for children to know that something special is happening. That this is not a normal season. And I think that specialness is important because it is in that sense of wonder and amazement that the gospel message can be planted. Because we make them hallow the season. And in that process, the message of Christ also takes on significance. But if we make it an ordinary day, then the message also sounds ordinary to a child. And so I think that parents should amaze their children during Christmas. You should make them not lose the wonder of the moment, because it was a wonderful moment. The first Christmas was wonderful. If you look at the scriptures and see angels coming and going, shepherds hearing the voice of angels and sounds and wise men coming. I mean, this is quite a lot of drama and a lot of activity and a lot of wonderment. And we must not lose the wonderment of the moment. And we must not be so mature that we lose the sense of wonder of the Son of God being born. And I think that if we keep it that way, then it's easier to drop the gospel message into the hearts of children.
What you said about making memorable for the children and families coming together. It's like a reunion. What advice would you give to those who are continuously working and struggling to make time to be with their families during this season?
I mean, money is very important, but it doesn't solve all our problems. And after all, why do we want to make money? It's to make life better for ourselves. And I can understand a family that, or somebody who needs to really work hard. I came from a very modest home, and I think most of us can relate to not having abundance at home. But that didn't stop us and our parents from trying to, yes, at this little point in time, to make time for us and to make life a little cheerful for us. So no matter how much a parent needs to work hard, they should spend time with their children. And if you don't have a child and you're maybe in your 20s, you're not married, you say, well, this is just about me. Make time for yourself and give yourself a break. And don't just be working your heart out as if nothing matters beyond just your work. We need to make time and remember that it is all about the fact that God sent his son to this world. So we must not trivialize that experience.
This Christmas will be a very challenging one for most families because of the impact of COVID-19. I'm wondering if you could share a word of encouragement for families who are grieving, families who are financially challenged, and the world at large.
Our world has had a very, very difficult year. I mean, in my living memory, I can't think of any year like this year. It's unusual on all levels. Apart from the health hazard, is the economic dislocation, it is the distancing from people. So much has happened that, I mean, last year by this time, I would never have imagined that this was a possibility. But we've lived through it. You know, as hard, disruptive, and turbulent as it is, here we are. So much has been lost, but so much still remains. And I think Christmas offers us the opportunity to be thankful to the Lord in the midst of all our pain and sorrow and all our tears and weeping, to still thank God for what remains. Because it could have been 10 times worse, especially for those of us in Africa and in Ghana. If we look at other countries and what they've gone through, there's so much to be thankful to God for. And let us never diminish the mercies of God simply because we still have problems we haven't solved. We thank God for his mercies and humbly ask good things for us.
And that is the words of the hymn, thanking God for his mercies and then also asking for more. Doc, thank you so much for making time for this very insightful discussion about Christmas. And I enjoyed your experience, especially the chasing of the star. That was very wonderful. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Kojo, for sharing your thoughts as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Priscilla, for your contribution.
Thank you, too.
Doc, as we sign off, this is the last episode before Christmas. What will be your Christmas message to the individual, to the church, to the nation, and to the world at large?
Well, all I can say is Merry Christmas. I wore this outfit just for Christmas because I wanted to wear something very unusual that was uncharacteristic of me, and I've had this for a long time and didn't find any good time to wear it except this time, because Christmas gives us the freedom to be joyful and exuberant and happy, and I hope that my orange attire is enough Christmas to cheer everybody up. And may the Lord give you his peace, his joy. May your joy be full. And this season, may the Lord who visited us 2,000 years ago visit you and touch your life and touch your home and bring light to every area and aspect of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.